We have a plethora of skull candles.
I love it.
Is that one a candle?
They're all candles.
Is the big one a candle? Oh, mm-hmm. I guess it is.
They're all candles. I like your crazy straw.
Thank you.
That shit is not sane. That motherfucker doesn't just go straight to the mouth.
No. He flies like a bee flies.
He's all crazy. Like a bee flies.
It's not as the crow flies. This straw wants to take its time to get to here.
That reminds me, when I was younger, I was like in second grade or something, and I was obviously very bored in class, and I just watched a fly around the room, and I thought that shit was the funniest thing I had ever seen, because I had never just watched a fly. And if you ever do follow one, those motherfuckers are crazy.
Those motherfuckers are doing stunts in the air.
Yeah, like they have no idea what's going on, and they're running into shit. Oh my God, I thought that was the best thing ever. And then I would tell all my friends, like it was a new life hack, like, dude. You see that fly in the class?
You ever fucking watch these bitches? They got no idea where they're going.
Oh my God, it was like my favorite joy in life. I haven't watched a fly probably since that day.
It's probably a lot like watching our children.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, right? And then they come up and like yell at you and spit on you and tell you the whole story. And you're like, I'm sorry I asked.
Where are you going though?
I don't fucking get it.
God damn!
How's it going, Erin?
Pretty good. How are you?
Got any goddams for us this week?
I sure do, actually. And it's probably the same as every other mother / parent in the universe.
Oh, you think so?
Jesus fucking Christ, this time change. Maybe not the universe, because not everywhere has time changes, because not everywhere is ridiculous.
Oh my God, the time change is awful.
Oh my God.
I lived in Arizona for 1 year.
And that was the best year of your life.
Ever had to turn the clocks any which way.
We voted for that shit here.
Forever ago.
Yeah, it was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago or some shit.
And somebody's still like, nope, I like getting all fucked up.
Yeah. Dude, my kid's coming into my fucking room at like 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
I know.
Breathing all heavy.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, Jesus
it.
Christ, go back to bed.
My
go
kid came bed. In at... It was what would have been like 3 a.m. because he was going through a spell. I don't know when the fucking sleeping just starts happening all the way through the night. I swear my kids cycle through it at different times all the goddamn time. But it would have been 3 a.m, but it was like 4:30 or something. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to get up in like an hour. What the fuck? This is supposed to be the middle of the night where I don't mind. It's okay. I still get to go get a solid sleep in.
Yeah. Oh, I make the mistake of counting the hours after they wake me up. And I'm like, I only have an hour and a half left.
I know. It's the worst. It is the fucking worst.
It is. It's throwing my whole life off. Like, I'd be able to survive. But with the kids, I'm like, no. Homies. Like, they can't hang late.
No, it's a disaster. It's Meltdown City every goddamn night.
Yeah.
Which is weird. It's because they haven't been sleeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, patterns all thrown off. My oldest likes to get up early, and he used to wake up at 6 o'clock, like, on his own, his little body. He'd just be like, good morning. And now it's, like, 7, and he's pissed that he only has an hour before he has to go to school. And I'm like... That's fucking normal. Like, people wake up and then get ready and then leave.
Like, that's the first thing of your day, homie. Yeah. It's not supposed to be, like, activities before this.
Oh, my God. He loves it. He gets a solid game of Fortnite in.
I know. I had to tell my kid he can't play Fortnite in the morning now.
Why?
Because he'll start a match and then I'm like, homie, we gotta go.
And then he's like, finish it.
I'm number 5.
Yeah.
I'm like, well. And I'm the mom that, you know, was traumatized by not being able to save.
Yeah.
Or I'm that kid from back in the fucking day.
Exactly.
And mom would be like, doesn't matter, turn it off. And they turn it off. And I was like, I will not do that to my kid. I'll always let him save. Can't fucking save on these, though.
I know.
So my parents kid,
turn pulled off. The cord out of the wall on my brother.
Yeah. Yeah, they're crazy.
I know, because they didn't fucking get it. Same thing, though. But I'm always like, okay, but after literally last night, my kid was, I don't know why, in the hallway, laying down, playing on the floor in the hallway. And I'm like, dude, you need to be in bed, okay?
Yeah.
Like, after that match, and then turn it off. And he's like, okay, okay. And then I'm like, all right, it's time for bed. He's like, you said after the match. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's been like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah. And they just fuck around in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kill everybody and get on with it.
Let's go. Kill or die.
Yeah. Do something, man.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it, too. So you're right. That is like everybody's goddamn this week.
Yeah.
Who has to experience daylight savings time. Yeah. And if you don't have to, just be so thankful, because it's literally the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, and I'm take pretty this sure moment to be thankful. I'm for pretty all sure that you
I
have.
Don't even know why we have it in the first place. Every time everybody's like farmers and school kids at the bus stop, and I'm like, I still don't think I get it.
No, I still don't get it because it's not like it was dark in the morning. The kids are going to be fine, and they get out at 2. It's not going to be dark then either.
Like,
we'll be
I get
fine.
That the sun sets at different times and all that stuff, so you're trying, like, it moves or whatever, but you'll be okay. Arizona's fine.
Yeah.
Also, you'll be okay.
Can't they just keep farmers' hours then? Like, I don't, hey guys, our business is going to work from 9 to 5, but in like winter, it's going to work from 8 to 4 or but what the fuck ever.
It's like, so dumb because then in the summer, it's like light till 8:30. You can't, 4th of July, have fireworks till 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
9:30 at night. And you're like, I want to get my fucking kids to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a kid's world, not a mom's world.
Oh, it's so awful. It's terrible.
Give me your goddamn.
Oh, man. It's not that exciting, but the saga continues.
After that thriller of a time change.
Yeah, but your girl is still dealing with some fucking pantry moths over
here.
Oh,
no!
Oh, these fuckers. Everybody warned me. Everybody was like, oh, sucks if you've got pantry moths.
You're those never getting rid of them.
Suck. Yeah. Oh, boy, do they suck. Yeah. Okay. So I got those little moth traps, right? This is really not exciting, guys. And I'm sorry. I didn't realize how much attention you have to pay to your pantry because I guess I've just always moved all the fucking time. So like the longest.
Start fresh.
Yeah. So the longest I've ever gone without clearing the pantry is like 1.5 years or something. But I've been in this fucking house forever now. And I've already cleaned it, obviously, because I've talked about the pantry moths. But there was just like an invasion again. I keep those little traps in there. And all of a sudden it was like full. Like, they're fucking all were reborn from the last time. And the last time I pulled everything out, I wiped it all down like you're supposed to do, blah, blah, blah. So I had to fucking do that again. And that's my goddamn. But this time I pulled everything out and I fucking repainted it. I bleached everything. I relined it. I bleached everything that I kept. I threw away so much shit, though. That's a good exercise to do occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit in there from a while ago.
Oh, my God. Like Halloween candy from 2 Halloweens ago.
Oh,
like,
gross.
I think we could just chuck it. You know?
Yeah. Nobody's going to eat this.
And it's in like the far corner of the pantry that nobody ever sees anymore. And I'm like, I got a whole spot now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I spent my whole fucking day yesterday doing that. I think it was yesterday. I don't know. It's all a blur now. But it took me all fucking day to do that. It looked so good at the end. And I'm like, I will not let anybody touch the pantry now.
You're like, if you need something, come to me. I will get it.
I am the bookkeeper. You come to me.
You check it out and you check it in.
I opened the pantry so many times last night asking Lee. And I'm like, duh, it looks good, right? It looks good. And he's like, I'm scared to get anything. I'm like, yeah, you should be. Tell me.
You're like, yeah, that's an accurate feeling.
How long do you think it'll fucking last?
I didn't look at it right now. I should have before.
Oh, things were already out of order. I was like, nope, that's not where they go. And like putting them back.
Bitch, this is alphabetical.
I don't even know. Well, and how do you organize a pantry? You know?
Like, yeah,
it's
I don't know.
So unique and specific to your family.
Mm-hmm. Especially to how, like, do I want the kids to be able to reach it? So these have to be at the bottom. Uh-huh. Unless I want them to climb.
Exactly. It's so strategic. Yeah. There's so much planning involved.
Yeah.
And I, but again, my fucking pantry is deep. It's not like, it doesn't make sense anyway. So I reorganized it and it felt so good. But I am disgusted by myself. Like the shit that I pulled out of there, I'm like, I can't believe I ate at my house. That's fucking nasty. Like, what the fuck? I will continue to be the gross one yet again.
No, don't worry. I found an onion on our counter the other day that was wrapped in saran wrap that had sprouted and was, like, growing in around it. Yeah, it was, like, half an onion that started, like, growing around. And I was like, that's...
I think this one's done.
Nice. Yeah.
Or we should plan it.
You think we're going to use this one still?
We got to do something, though. Yeah. Time's a ticking. This is not important at all, but the other day... Lee went to his dad's house, and his dad has an orange tree, and I guess gave him some oranges, and they've been in my car.
Uh-oh.
And it's been a little convenient because I've eaten a few.
Okay.
On the run, you know?
Yeah.
But then the other day, I get in my car, and I was like, you know what? I think these are done now. And I grabbed it, and it was so rotten on the bottom. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how they hide? They're, like, stealth mode rotten?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My intuition was right.
These are done. Oh,
and I put
gross.
My fucking finger right through it. And it was, like, on the way out the door, too, you know?
Yeah.
You know when you're right by your trash cans, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to chuck this real quick.
Yeah. Oh, gross. Mm-mm. That sucks.
Yeah. So... My life is just rotting away slowly. Not anymore, though. I
cleaned it.
That's
not a metaphor.
Yeah. But there's fucking moths all over my house. And Lee's like, I don't notice them. And I'm like, I will start calling them out to you.
I didn't notice him.
Mm-mm. Oh, wow.
He's a man.
Yeah, I guess.
Guys don't pay attention.
No.
I mean, with those moth traps in there, it's not like fucking.
Yeah, they're not flying out.
Yeah, whatever. Wardrobe. It's not that embarrassing or anything, but like, I see them. Like, one will flutter around the bathroom for a couple of days, and I'm like, you lost your way, my friend. This is not a pantry.
Where are you going? This is not a pantry.
I don't know how your navigation units work inside of your little moth bodies, but it is off.
Oh, no.
You're in with the flies here. Moths? This is where the shit drops.
You got to get a lot hardier to be in here.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if it's going to be a problem elsewhere. I like looked it up and I'm like, should I be worried about my clothes? And I was like, yeah, they don't fucking care about that. It's just impossible.
Also, I don't think you own any wool. Maybe what you're wearing right now.
But... Yeah, I don't really know. It's like that scratchy beach jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I might just be the moth lady from here on out.
I love it. You could catch some and release them.
Yes.
A cloud of dust when you enter a room.
It's just fucking mothwing dust. Poof. It'll be my glitter.
Yeah.
I like it. Everybody will be like, what is that?
What is that?
It's gross.
Somebody get her mothballs.
That'll be my signature scent. Do you want to hear about some out in the streets?
She tells us murder.
Okay. So actually... I got a little bit of a different one for you today because is it murder or is it not?
Ooh, I guess we'll find out.
Or will you?
Maybe.
Or not.
Is this the Boeing case?
Was it suicide?
Or was it murder?
Or was it murder? No, it's not the Boeing case.
All right.
This week, actually, I'm going to tell you about a case that happened in San Diego.
Ooh,
and as
a
I
local
was
smoky.
Yeah, as I was researching it, Lee was like, oh, you're doing the Jahi Turner case? And I'm like, you know it, so...
Nope.
I was wondering if you were going to have the same reaction.
Nope.
I'm going to tell you about Jahi Turner.
Jahi Turner. All right. Nope. Haven't heard it. At least it doesn't sound familiar yet.
I know. And I was shocked that Lee knew something I didn't.
Honestly.
Right?
That guy's not that smart. He's just like got a PhD or some shit.
Barely. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, well, I just, when it comes to, like, true crime.
Oh, for sure,
usually
yeah.
I'm the one filling him in, and he's like, oh, yeah. And then he started, like, spouting it off to me. I'm like, you just summarized my case. Good job.
Nice.
Let me follow your words. Hang on.
You're like, hold on, slow down.
All right, so in April of 2002, Tamika Turner was an 18-year-old woman from Maryland who had joined the Navy after high school.
Okay.
And she was stationed on the USS Rushmore off the coast of San Diego.
Fun.
In 2002. She had had a 2-year-old son that was named Jahi Turner,
mm-hmm.
who she gave birth to when she was just 16.
Ooh, rough.
She had gotten pregnant by a guy that she was hanging around with named Tremaine Simpson. Sampson?
But not what Simpson. About Tremaine?
Sampson.
Oh.
Not Simpson.
Got it.
I just need you to validate me.
Sampson.
Uh-huh. Got it. Okay. I guess they weren't really in, like, a close relationship or anything. Like, maybe it was a one-night stand and she got knocked up. I don't really know for sure, but he's not really in the picture.
Yeah.
He was never in the baby's life. I don't know if he did child support or anything like that. But from what I understand, Tamika was living at home with her mom when she became pregnant. Mm-hmm. And her mom was also a teen mom. I think she had been pregnant with Tamika when she was, like, 18 or something. And so she knew how hard it was to, like, go to school and raise a child and, like, her baby teenager just is no longer a teenager. She's about to be a mom.
Yeah.
So she helped Tamika take care of Jahi while she finished high school.
Oh, that's nice.
During this time, Tamika had also met a man who was 6 years older than her,
mm-hmm.
who was the neighborhood drug dealer.
Love that.
Yeah, maybe not the best. Not picking the cream of the crop.
I mean, he's the dealer. Okay.
So kind of the cream of the drug crop.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. That's the higher level.
Right? You don't get much higher than that, except for the supplier.
Yeah. Ooh. But then you're working up the chain, getting into cartel business.
So honestly.
We're looking for low man on the rung here.
Right. We got a little boy.
But he's not the user. He may be a user.
Indeed.
But actually, he also has a job, so.
I think they both were. I didn't actually put that in here, but I think they kind of both. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no.
You know. So Tamika and this drug dealer start dating, and his name is Tyrae Jones.
Okay.
And according to Tamika, Tyrae wasn't like your typical drug dealer guy. Like, he didn't look like he belonged out on the streets or whatever. But according to him, that's all he had. Streets of my life. You know?
All right.
Tyrae was going through family issues and he had been kicked out of school. And Tamika wanted to help take care of him. Like, she wanted him to do better.
Mm-hmm. And it turns out that Tamika was no stranger to drugs because she grew up around them her whole life.
Okay.
Her mother, Penny Thompson, had been addicted to crack cocaine since she was 4 years old.
That's rough.
Right. Now, Penny describes herself as a functioning addict, claiming that she had always been there for her children's needs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Tamika says that she kind of remembers her childhood a little differently, and that even though Penny was around and there, she wasn't, like, mentally there. She was, like,
yeah,
you know, pretty high all the time.
Yeah, like, I'll make you a sandwich, right. But it's going to be, like... like I'm half on the counter,
pass out in the middle of my ears.
Yeah, and you get like, I'll finish putting it together, I guess.
yeah, and because of this kind of home style, you know, that Tamika was dealing with, she had to grow up pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So she fell hard for Tyrae and dreamed of a world where she and him would get married and they would raise Jahi together as their own, you know, baby.
Okay.
Even though Tyrae is not the dad, right?
Yeah, yeah,
but he's gonna step in and help take care of Jahi.
What a good man.
Right? In retrospect, there were red flags early on for Tamika.
Really?
That she now admits that she ignored.
Was it the part where he's a drug dealer?
That part. And also, he was, like, definitely cheating on her. I guess there was, like, red flags for that. And she was just totally ignoring them. She's, like, head over heels for Tyrae.
Oh, that
she's
sucks.
Also 18 with a 2-year-old.
Yeah. She's trying to lock somebody down.
She's doing something. Yeah. Her mind's letting her ignore some things.
Yeah.
In August of 2001, Tamika joined the Navy, and in December of that year, she and Tyrae got married. In early of 2002, Tamika was stationed in San Diego, and she needed somebody to care for Jahi. Mm-hmm. So the plan was that Penny was going to take care of Jahi.
Okay, cool. Makes sense. He's not going to be saddled with being a single dad.
Right.
Quite like, yet.
Not yet. Like, yeah. This is still pretty fresh.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we just got married.
That's a lot to dump on a person.
Here's my 2-year-old.
Yeah,
exactly.
Who didn't raise him up to this
here
point.
Here you go, Daddy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Good luck.
And who he doesn't
five.
Know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Penny was going to take care of Jahi, but also Penny had recently gotten clean and, like, cleaned up her life and everything.
Good
for her. It was a safe environment.
Yeah.
However, at some point during her deployment, Tamika received a call from Child Protective Services.
Uh-oh.
Notifying her that she had 24 hours to remove Jahi from Penny's care before the state would take him.
Yeah. What?
I know. So it turns out that Penny was still doing drugs.
Can't do that.
Yeah. And somehow CPS was notified and she was busted.
Yeah.
And she claims that Jahi was never in danger of getting access to the drugs or anything. And there wasn't like a bunch of druggies around the house. So who knows? But Tamika was pissed. Tamika was like, what the fuck? Like, you are the one family that I have to help take care of my kid. And you were supposed to be getting your shit straight. And now
I needed
this.
You.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. And so at this point, Tyrae is living in San Diego with Tamika.
Because
Tamika's stationed out there. And then she goes on deployment on the USS Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it sounds like, I mean, it's just off the coast of San Diego. So it sounds like they go on deployment for like week trainings or something and then come back.
Okay.
So it's not like deployment where they're gone.
For 6 months, a
year,
or whatever.
And she's not like in combat or anything.
Yeah.
She's just doing whatever the fuck the Navy does out there.
Mm-hmm. Like, dicking around,
drills,
looking at aliens
talking
and stuff.
To fucking dolphins. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Training dolphins off the coast.
Very important shit.
Yeah, obviously.
Naming the SEALs out there. I don't fucking know, but it's very important and she was out there doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyrae is living in San Diego in their apartment.
Okay.
So the plan is at this point that they have to fly Jahi out to San Diego because Tyrae is the only other person she has mm-hmm. to help take care of him while she's out on deployment. So that's the plan.
But then at least it'll only be like a week at a time or something.
Right.
Versus and like always.
I know. Honestly, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like you get to hang out with your kid now.
Mm-hmm.
But a little sketchy because now we're having...
A drug dealer take care of him?
Yeah, that has never had a kid before, you
is
know?
Is sketchy to you?
A little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I guess.
But
I guess
she had
a little nervous about it.
Right, but she had literally no other option.
Yeah.
And she had no money or anything. Like, she was literally living paycheck to paycheck trying to make ends meet and trying mm-hmm. to get by. I mean, she joined the fucking Navy, you know?
Yeah.
So Tamika goes, she gets to leave real quick and go pick up her son in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
which is where he was living at the time.
Damn, 24 hours. Fucking quick to get a flight and everything.
A quick little turnaround time.
Yeah.
She goes to pick up her son, brings him back to San Diego, and is scheduled to ship out the next morning to the USS Rushmore again.
Jeez.
So there's like no time for her to hang out with him. She's just got to pick him up and
she's
bring him
back.
She's
got a whole fucking 5-hour plane ride.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, she was living paycheck to paycheck, and she used the little money that she had to go to the store and stock up on like all of the food and supplies and shit that
he would need.
Tyrae would need over the next week while she was gone.
That's nice.
Yeah. So
setting him up.
Just done a whole grocery run, but there was like no money left in the bank account. It was like, this is all you have now. You have to survive. Good luck, yeah. Tyrae. Like, sell some drugs or some shit. I don't know what he was doing to help bring to the income. I'm being, you know,
yeah,
I'm speculating here.
Yeah, yeah. But you're going to have to do something.
Yeah, but it sounds like Tamika used all of her money to set them both up for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes back out on deployment. And on Thursday, April 25th, 2002, which was approximately 4 days into her deployment, Tamika got a phone call from Tyrae, and he said that he lost Jahi. Like, he couldn't find him.
Lost him?
Lost him.
You're going to call her while on deployment?
Like, I can't find him.
That you lost my son?
Yeah, that's precisely what happened. And she was like, what the fuck do you mean you lost him? Like, you're the one taking care of him.
What? How long has he been missing?
Right? Well, it had just happened. He explained that.
Then you don't call the fucking mom first, bro. She's off the coast. Was she going to help you look for it?
He did call 911 at this point.
Okay.
So fair. He's calling her to be like, that we got a situation.
Heads up.
You're going to be real pissed about this situation.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so he's like, the cops are involved and they're looking for him. But I lost Jahi.
That's even more scary, though.
I know.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know.
How fucking horrible.
And he explained that he took Jahi to the park near their Beach Street apartment in the Golden Hill neighborhood of San Diego.
Okay.
And this park is located on the southeastern edge of Balboa Park off of 28th and Cedar Streets. And I just want to tell you so you know it's mm-hmm. Balboa Park.
Yeah,
park.
Yeah.
And Tyrae turned his back for a moment when Jahi was at the park, mm-hmm. and then he was gone.
Okay. Brandon takes my kid to that park out there all the time. So cool.
Oh,
love
yeah.
this.
Oh, cool. Cool, 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 cool,
cool, cool, cool, cool.
Great.
Cool.
So you're going to love this story.
Great. Uh-huh.
And
super.
You're going to love the ending because it's so...
I'm like, can we get a leash? Yeah. Invest in those?
You're going to want a leash.
Jesus.
So he called the police and the police instantly came and taped off the playground and they started looking for Jahi.
Oh my God, I hate this.
Because he's a 2-year-old out yeah. there. Tamika started to lose her shit. She's well, like obviously. Out on the smoking deck or whatever taking this phone call. And she just fucking loses it and starts screaming, where's my baby? And like, she's not consolable. Like, she's not doing well.
Yeah. You're yeah. going to have to turn this fucking cruise ship around.
Yeah. I'm about to swim to shore, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of her shipmates reported to the captain like, hey, something bad happened with Tamika. And then the captain found out what was going on and took Tamika back to shore. And
okay.
dropped her off in Coronado.
Good.
As soon as she got dropped off, she ran to her apartment screaming her kid's name, like trying to help find him. And when
but
she
that's
gets
not
there.
Where okay, go
I
ahead.
I know, I know. Well, I mean, they were close. They were at a neighborhood park
guess,
around
yeah.
there, you know? And so when she gets there, her apartment's all taped off. It's like a crime scene. She's like, what the fuck is going on? Now, at this point, it's nighttime. I think Tyrae had called Tamika around 2:00 or something. And so by the time she gets dropped off and all that stuff, it's nighttime. And it's cold out because it's like an April evening or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's worried about Jahi not having a jacket. Like,
aww,
he wasn't wearing a jacket.
Dads never bring fucking jackets.
Fucking seriously. And so she's freaking out. She's like, we have to find my kid. Like, what the fuck are you doing looking in my apartment? He's not here. Like, get
yeah,
your fucking
he said
shit
he was
together.
At Balboa Park.
Yeah.
What
like,
the fuck?
She was like pissed at yeah. the police and almost to a detriment, you know? Like, where she was not very much help.
Yeah. Well, in the police, I mean.
Right. Right. And she didn't know that, like, there were literally over 1,000 people out there looking for Jahi at that moment.
Wow.
And she didn't know that because she wasn't filled in.
Yeah.
So it was like.
She had just arrived.
Exactly.
And was hot.
Oh, coming in hot.
Yeah.
So they eventually get her calmed down and take her to the police station. And there she saw Tyrae for the first time since talking on the phone with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained to her and the police that he took Jahi to the park, and while there, he had asked for his sippy cup. Well, it turns out fucking Tyrae forgot his sippy cup. Typical dad.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. And
kind of.
But like kind of seriously.
But kind of.
And so he decided to go to the vending machine to get the kid a drink, and mm-hmm. when he turned back around, Jahi was gone.
Okay.
And he said there was another woman at the park and she had a couple children with her or something like that. And that he left Jahi in the sandbox.
OK.
okay. playing. I don't know if it was like playing with her children or if it was like, hey, can you watch my kid? It doesn't really sound like it was a, hey, can you watch my kid?
But yeah, just
like
how close left, is this yeah. vending machine?
Girl. This vending machine was over 100 yards away.
100 yards?
It took him 15 minutes to get a drink. He left a 2-year-old unattended in a sandbox for 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Just turned around. Just turned Real around to quick. Get him a drink. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Especially yeah. out there.
Especially out there. It's a really busy street,
a
right?
A really busy street, and there's kind of a lot of homeless people
yeah,
around.
Yeah, like, it's not... Well, and I don't know what it was like in 2002, but I imagine it's not that different.
Yeah, it can't be that different. It's a busy area.
Oh, it's
You can't
so
just
busy.
Leave a fucking baby.
It's always been very busy. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, he says, when he turned around, the lady and Jahi were gone.
When he turned around from his 15-minute walk...
When yeah. his fucking journey, when he arrived back at base camp.
Did he then run?
No, it doesn't sound like he was in a hurry at all.
Oh, my God. Who doesn't just take the fucking kid, too?
With you. Yeah. Why would you be like, I'll get you over here. You stay here. 100 yards
or
is
you're
far.
You're not getting a sippy cup. We forgot it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sucks
Are you that
suck.
Thirsty? Let's go back.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I'm going off the cuff, so this is going to be hard when I get to these points. But also, something to note is that there was a neighborhood park. I don't know if it was in their apartment complex or, like, right there.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose to take Jahi to this park that was a mile away, and they walked there.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Who walks that
yeah.
far?
Yeah, exactly.
With a 2-year-old. Did he have a stroller?
No. He didn't. Or at least they didn't explain anything about a stroller.
Hmm. No dude
That's
is going to do that anyway.
That's a fucking point. Yeah. yeah. So immediately the cops were like, I don't believe Tyrae's story. Like, something isn't right about it. Like, nobody would leave a 2-year-old on a busy street, mm-hmm. unattended, with some stranger to go to a vending machine, fucking 15-minute hike away.
Yeah.
You
that's
know?
Crazy.
Or like a 7-minute hike away.
yeah.
To get a drink for this 2-year-old. You would take the kid with you, right?
Yeah. At that point, just go back home.
Like yeah.
Either don't drink, you're
or go to 7-Eleven.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So the cops go to the park and they notice that the vending at first they're already like, this is sketchy, right? They get to the park and then they actually see the park and they're mm-hmm. like, this is immediately not what happened. And the lead detective was suspicious right off the bat. And mm-hmm. then she's like trying to talk to Tamika to get some sort of information, but Tamika is just pissed at the cops and not helping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's not much help. And the police are over here like, ma'am,
we're trying to fucking help.
Yeah. We have 1,000 people looking for your son right now. If he were just wandered off around this park, he'd be found by now. And they were like being very diligent about making sure, like, you know, coyotes and shit come out at night. Mm-hmm. So they were like searching the canyons and everything. The police had also tracked down everyone that had been at the park that day, and no one had recalled seeing Tyrae or Jahi there. So police are literally like, we just keep getting more and more evidence that he's not telling us the truth.
Yeah, and it's a pretty far-fetched story for any responsible person.
Right.
Which you'd like to paint yourself as a responsible person.
But... Yeah. You know what's crazy, though, is, like, if you're going to tell this story, you would at least make an appearance at the park, right?
I would think.
Yeah.
Like, so and go like, get yeah. something from the vending machine.
Yeah.
Like, go walk to the park and walk to the vending machine.
So you got fingerprints on it or some shit? Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess if people saw you walking then and were like, yeah, he definitely didn't have a kid with him. No,
yeah,
he wasn't
that's
in a rush.
True. Yeah. Like, but then at least you could be like, yeah, they just maybe didn't notice, but yeah. I for sure was there.
He
I don't
was
know.
Over there.
It's easier to lie, too, if you mm-hmm. actually did part of it.
I know, right?
I don't know. So they also discovered that 2 days prior to Jahi going missing, Tyrae had talked to Tamika and told her that Jahi had wet the bed in the morning or that night or whatever and had hid his head on the dresser and that he was acting weird. Like,
the fuck? Excuse
well,
me?
I guess he just said that he wasn't really talkative or something. And I don't know what Tamika said to him or if she was like, oh, that's normal.
When he hits his head, he often doesn't talk for a
Sometimes
while.
Sometimes that's the off button. I don't know. I don't know how the conversation went.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it obviously ended at a point where Tamika felt still comfortable for Jahi mm-hmm. to be in Tyrae's care.
Yeah.
And that was the last time that she had talked to Tyrae before she got this phone call saying that,
he's missing.
Yeah, that he was gone. So it had been 2 days since she had gotten to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, neighbors reported seeing Tyrae leave the apartment several times on April 24th, which was the day before Jahi was officially announced missing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was taking several trips in and out of his apartment, carrying large trash bags and a duffel bag
Mm-mm.
and, like, throwing them in the dumpster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I hate this.
I know. So the police actually, obviously, looked through the dumpster, and by the time they had gotten there, the trash had already been taken out. So then they searched the entire landfill for, like, clues and shit. And at some point, they were able to recover some of Jahi and Tamika's clothing in the trash that had been discarded. And later on in our story, I'll tell you that Tamika confirms that it is Jahi's clothing and her clothing. But at first, it's like the police are like, we're pretty sure, but like nobody's helping them. It's kind of like the police are on this murder case hunt and none of Jahi's family thinks it's a murder. They think that he was abducted or something.
Yeah.
And they're not really working with the police to solve anything.
Yeah.
Also, they had discovered in the apartment that there was a blanket and one of Jahi's shirt that had blood on it. And it was his blood. But I don't know how much blood or anything. But so now the police are like, oh, he was injured in here. We have eyewitnesses saying they were, you know, carrying big enough bags that could probably be a two-year-old body. Mm-hmm. So his body's probably in the landfill somewhere and we got to go find it. The police also believe that Tyree never took Jahi to the park at all. Not only just that day, but like in general. Like he was never there.
Yeah.
Because the story wasn't really adding up. So, like I said, every time they would talk to Tamika, she couldn't really cooperate. She was, like, basically just screaming about her kid. Like, why aren't you finding my kid? What's going on? And was, like, pissed at the police. So yeah. She wasn't really helping. But they
she
kept
was hysterical.
Trying, yeah. They kept trying to ask her about Tyree's past. Like, he had been arrested in Maryland twice for marijuana possession and for suspicion of drug distribution. Mm-hmm. And so they were, like, trying to figure out, like, who is this guy? Like, give us some information about him so we know, like, is this a likely thing that could have happened?
Yeah, but also as Tamika,
yeah,
you're
she's like,
this is the one person in the world that I trust. Obviously, I've got married to him enough. I trust him that much.
100%. And she kept saying that, like yeah. This is the only man who has ever been here for me. The only person in my life I can rely on. It was not him. You're wasting your time.
So then
stop it.
I can see her being pissed about it.
Right. And she doesn't know all the stuff.
Yeah. Right off the bat, and they're coming at your husband like that. I'd be like, no, you need to find him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's
like, stop
exactly.
Stop trying to focus here. Stop trying to point this way or see his criminal past. Like,
exactly. Stop. Like, stop it. Yeah. So 6 days after Jahi's disappearance, Tamika and Tyree hold a press conference at the advice of the police. Mm-hmm. And they're basically pleading for the safe return of Jahi. Tamika did a few more media appearances for the police, but soon she started to shut down because Jahi never returned. Nothing was ever coming of it. She kind of didn't really trust the police, and she stopped talking to investigators. She stopped talking to some of her family. Like, she went into, like, full recluse mode.
Well, yeah. You imagine you're fucking distraught.
Absolutely.
Everything. Like, yeah. Baby's missing.
Right? So she's living in San Diego by herself, and she was angry with everyone, and she was angry at her mom for being the reason that Jahi was in San Diego in the first place, and she was angry with Tyree because he was supposed to be watching Jahi. She had no idea how she was supposed to react or behave or anything, and people in the media are, like, eating her alive because it was, like, a big thing around here at the time.
Oh, God.
Like, in the news and everything. And meanwhile, the police are still investigating Tyree as the prime suspect, so she just feels totally helpless, falls in this, like, hole of despair.
Mm-hmm. Understandable.
And the police are still following Tyree as the main suspect. They're at this point, they're like, it's not even a lost kid. Like, for sure, we have a murder case. We just don't have a body. And we know Tyree knows something, and we need to get that information. Yeah. That's where the police are at right now.
Well, I mean, after so many days of them not finding Jahi, it feels like you got to kind of start believing them.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and they're the police, so they probably have a lot of evidence and stuff. But, you know.
Yeah, but.
You never know.
Even as the distraught mom, it's like, hey. Yeah. Like, a kid doesn't just go missing like that. Yeah. It's either something nefarious has happened.
Yeah. She really thought somebody took her kid. Like, she was pleading for them. Like, we don't care who took him. Just please drop him off somewhere safe so we can have him back. Ugh, I don't even care who you are.
Yeah.
Just give me my kid back. So she really believed that, that rhetoric. Now, after Jahi's disappearance, Tamika and Tyree separated, but they didn't, like, officially divorce or anything.
Mm-hmm.
They both returned to Maryland, and they kept in contact because they had actually had a son together who was born in 2003 in San Diego. And occasionally, Tamika would bring up Jahi to Tyree, like, and ask him questions and everything. And at first, Tyree would answer all of her questions for her. But eventually, I don't know if he just got tired of the questions or what was going on, but he stopped answering them, and Tamika stopped asking them because it was too painful to bring up.
Oh,
so they just didn't talk about Jahi anymore.
That breaks my heart.
I know. Tamika always held out hope that Jahi would return home someday, and she focused on making her life as perfect as she could so that when he did get home, everything would be, like, ready for him. Aww. And she eventually left the Navy, and she worked several jobs before returning to school, and she became a finance manager.
Oh, good for her.
Penny, her mom, has done, like, a ton of self-help and started to work on herself, and she's been drug-free for 10 years.
Wow.
Tamika didn't actually divorce Tyrae until 2012.
Wow.
And shortly after her divorce, the police reached out to her again about Jahi. The lead detective on Jahi's case saw the divorce as maybe a sign that Tamika would perhaps cooperate with them now on this whole investigation.
Like, hey, why'd you get divorced? Do you think he's kind of a terrible person? Do you want to talk about it?
He murdered Jahi. Well, I guess what had happened.
By the way, if you hear knocking, it's construction. Sorry.
Oh, my God. They're like really going for it.
Anyway, go ahead.
So what had actually really happened, the reason that she got in contact with the lead detective at first, was because in 2013, there was a little boy that was found locally. It was like in Rancho Bernardo or something. There was a little boy that was found in a duffel bag. That's actually how I stumbled on this case, is I found the duffel bag one and I was like, oh, I'm going to do that one. And then it came up with Jahi's name, and I don't know if that's actually how it was tied together, if it was just like another kid that went missing in the same time. Anyway, that's how I found this case, was there was a little boy that was found in a duffel bag.
Oh, God.
And I guess Tyrae called Tamika freaking out, screaming like, they found Jahi, that was him. And so Tamika called the lead detective and was like freaking out. And the lead detective was like, hey, like, first of all, it's not Jahi. And if it were, you would know first. Like, not Tyrae, not the fucking news. Like, you would be the one to know first.
Yeah.
So like calmed her down. But then that's when the lead detective was like, well, she's talking to me, so let's get her over here.
Yeah.
So they fly her out to San Diego, and they walk her through the apartment complex, like walking her through everything. And then they walk her through like the playground area, and they explain all the things that they've heard, all of their concerns, why they think it's a murder, like why they don't think Jahi's alive anymore. And she is pissed. Like, she's listening to it all, but she's breaking down, like crying. She's angry because she's like, I see it now. Like, I missed so many signs, and now I see what you're saying.
Oh, my God.
And I understand. And her and the lead detective actually went for it, went after each other, because she was like, you're in here telling me, like, I'm holding on to a thread of hope, and you're in here telling me, like, cutting that thread and just being like, your kid's fucking dead. Like, what do you expect me to feel like? What do you think is going to happen? And the lead detective was yelling back at her, like, I've been dedicating my life to solving this fucking case. If you want me to stop, I'll stop right now, but I need your help. So Tamika, after she breaks down, they duke it out or whatever, she's now like, okay, let me help you in this case of everything. And she recalls that she and Tyrae had this journal that they would write back and forth to each other in. And she hadn't opened this journal in like 13 years. And the last time she had seen it was right before she went on deployment. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was like too painful or she never thought about it, but she pulls out this journal and she reads it again. So in this journal, they find that Tyrae had written a few entries after Tamika went on her deployment.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an entry about Jahi wetting the bed and getting the bump on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Another entry was about how Jahi hadn't really been moving or talking lately and that he wouldn't get up off the floor.
What?
It mentioned that when Tyrae would tell Jahi to get his cup, he wouldn't walk or talk or anything. He would just like look at him.
Okay.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Another entry mentioned how Tyrae put ice on the bump on his head and how he hoped that Jahi wouldn't hate him for something he can't control. So, like, I don't know if that means, like, oh, I hope he doesn't hate me because I'm trying to help him and he thinks I'm hurting him because he's
ice
two.
Hurts. Yeah.
Or is he going to hate me because I hit him?
And I can't control my anger because I'm just so filled with testosterone.
Yeah, and I'm so strong and drug dealer-y. Like, I don't know what that meant. But that's what the fucking article said was in the journal.
Mm-hmm. Real weird that a dude's journaling.
I mean,
I don't know why. It's not a sex gendered whatever thing. Fucking thing. But
in your mind,
male friends ever journaled. Yeah, ever.
I don't know that I haven't. I don't know.
Maybe. So I feel like if it was like a thing between the two of them, you know, if Brandon and I journaled back and forth, he would do it. But if I left, he'd be like, thank God that's done.
Yeah, like I don't want to do it now that she's not here.
Yeah, no.
Maybe it was like his way to cope, though. Like, I don't fucking know what I'm doing. But maybe. I don't know. Some other entries also mentioned how there was like no money and that he loved and adored Tamika. And in retrospect, as Tamika's reading these entries, she immediately recognized that they didn't feel authentic. She was like, this isn't really like how
he would write.
Yeah, how we would write back and forth to each other. This isn't like it didn't feel. She felt it was staged.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm guessing she thinks maybe he staged it.
Yeah.
And it just didn't feel
she
right.
She would probably know his handwriting. Right. It'd be all the same throughout or whatever. Yeah,
but she felt weird about it. But then I think it's kind of weird. Like, what would be the benefit of him staging those entries?
Oh, like just everything was normal.
Like, yeah, just make it seem like Jahi was there. Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Okay. I wrote this myself and I'm still like, wait, why is that weird?
I don't understand. Why do we even think it's him?
What is wrong here?
The fact that he was so concerned about a duffel bag found with another little boy in Rancho Bernardo makes me think he for sure put Jahi in a duffel bag. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of think so too. And there was a neighbor, that's what he saw, and yeah. carrying a duffel bag. That's fucked up, man.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was a duffel bag missing, you know? I don't know all these little details. That'd be nice to know, though.
Yeah.
So this newfound journal, along with Tamika describing that the items that they found in the dumpster were positively identified as Jahi's clothing and her clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that Tyree had no money, the prosecutors were able to gauge how much food would have been eaten in the house.
Jeez.
Yeah. Based on the fact that, like, Tamika had left them with pantry full.
Uh-huh.
That one example they gave was the animal crackers. Like, he had a full box. Jahi loved animal crackers, and there was a full box of animal crackers. So if he had been alive for those 2 days, there would have been some of those animal crackers missing, and they weren't open. So prosecutors are like, okay, we think that this is a strong enough evidence for ourselves to suggest that Jahi was never actually even in the apartment long.
Oh, my
like,
God.
An accident could have happened before, or he could have done something before,
mm-hmm.
whether it be an accident or not, and that he had just been lying this whole time, saying, like, he bumped his head, and he was acting weird and not talking. Like, that's fucking weird updates to give somebody.
Yeah, those are really weird updates, but it also suggests a different story than he went missing at the park, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why would you make up that he stopped talking? That seems real.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like a real, you know, he probably did hit him, and it probably rocked his fucking world. Maybe he got a concussion or, you know, brain problems or something, and then he stops talking, he stops responding, and, like, is slowly declining, where he should have taken him to the hospital at any point during that time.
Like, care.
Yeah, and maybe he had, like, a serious head injury or something.
It could have been. So investigators had Tamika call Tyree on a tapped phone because, remember, they're still, like, in a friendship of sorts or communicating, right? Mm-hmm. They're just divorced. And so they're trying to get more information out of him about the day that Jahi went missing.
Mm-hmm.
And all he really said was that he knows that everybody blames him and that he shouldn't have turned around, but that he didn't murder Jahi or anything and there was no accident. If there had been an accident, he'd admit to that and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't get, like, a mic drop confession or anything like that from that phone call. But prosecutors were able to go ahead and have Tyree Jones arrested on April of 2016 and charged with Jahi's murder.
Really?
Really.
With what evidence?
Yeah. So prosecutors argued that Jahi was injured on Tuesday, April 23rd, 2002, which would have been 2 days prior to his alleged disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
Tyree then discarded his body in the dumpster, and his body ended up in the landfill. They searched the landfill and haven't found him or anything, but that's their theory.
Mm-hmm.
They claim that Tyree and Jahi never went to the park that day when he called 911. Tyree testified that Jahi had fallen and bumped his head during the trial,
mm-hmm.
and he said that he had seen two of their cats run into the bedroom, and then he heard a crashing noise, and then he ran in to go check on Jahi, and he said that he was just standing by the bed, and then he crawled into it and laid down. And that later, he wasn't really walking or talking or anything much. So, like, maybe you're right. Like, got an accident happened, got a concussion. And then he fucking slept it off.
Yeah, like, and, you know,
and
supposed
Tyree
to do.
Was just like, okay, cool. Yeah, at least he's napping. I don't know. Good. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Someone who doesn't want responsibilities of a child.
Right. So, in the end, the jury was deadlocked.
Ooh.
8 jurors believed that Tyree was guilty of involuntary manslaughter, thinking that an accident had happened based off of all the evidence that they saw. I think they showed, like, the bloody blanket and, like, painted the whole story and showed the items that they found in the dumpster and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
2 other jurors voted for murder charges. Like, they were like, it's not accident. They think that he murdered him.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 others felt that he was not guilty. Wow. So it was a deadlock. And the judge later ruled that there would be no retrial until there was more evidence on the case, because the judge felt that there is not enough evidence that you're ever going to get a jury to give you any kind of clear verdict. It's always going to end in
a deadlock. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that fucking crazy? Tamika said that this whole thing, like, rocked her to the core, yeah, like, getting a deadlock in the end, because she finally was like, okay, I think it really is Tyrae. And then, like, there still wasn't enough evidence. And she's like, what the fuck?
Going
like,
against the father of your other child,
I know,
too.
Like, there's just no justice for anybody in this.
Yeah.
She moves forward, focusing on her teenage son that she has with Tyrae, and trying to keep Jahi's story in the limelight so that someday she can get some answers, because we still don't know.
Oh, my God. How
and
terrible.
As of this year in 2024, Jahi will have been missing for 21 years, and he would have been 23 years old. That's fucking crazy.
That is crazy.
Like, he's the whole ass adult by now. If he is out there. But, I mean, it sounds like they really have a lot of evidence to suggest that maybe he was murdered. I would think, like, mm-hmm, just based off of whatever I just shared with you, because obviously I haven't dug, I don't know these people or anything, but I would guess it was an accident, like you're saying. Like, there's a kernel of truth.
Mm-hmm.
An accident happened.
Whether he hit him or something like that, right, or whatever, got too aggressive, pushed him.
Or he fell and he didn't get medical attention.
Yeah, but it...
like, if he were high or something.
I think it is, like, the kernel of truth, like you said. Like, yeah, the idea that, especially writing in the journals and everything, you're going to say what, not what happened, but, like,
a little bit.
Pieces of, yeah, it. He wasn't eating. He wasn't talking. That's, like, head injury problems.
Right. And I'm sure, too, if you add little kernels of truth, it's kind of like a backup method of, like, well, if I do get caught, at least I'm like, well, okay, fine. This,
yeah,
happened.
Yeah.
But I didn't do it on purpose. You,
yeah,
know?
Yeah, exactly.
And like we were saying, it's kind of easier to lie when you've been there. It's, mm-hmm, kind of easier to lie if you're using some of the truth, mm-hmm, you know?
So. Like, well, all that really did happen. And then, but then it's such a, like, a vast change, or a big change to, like, someone took him at the park, I guess.
I'll just say he got taken at the park.
Yeah. Why'd you take a kid who's not moving or walking or talking to the park anyway?
Right? That who doesn't seem well? I guess,
yeah,
he got better.
He wanted to go get a sippy cup.
But then he didn't feed him anything.
He didn't
walk. It just
walk.
Doesn't sound like maybe he should have been caring for him.
Yeah, it sounds like he really wasn't ready for a kid either.
Yeah.
But.
And that's sad.
That's really fucking
sad.
So
we still don't know what happened to Jahi Turner.
Well, thanks for that depressing news.
You're welcome. So don't take your son to that park, or do, you know, you might be fine.
I mean, Brandon only turns his back for a second.
Well, your kid's also not two anymore.
That's true. Thank fuck.
Yeah. So if you want to check out pictures pertaining to this case, go to our social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok. And you can email us at isgdpodcast@gmail.com or snail mail us at
PO Box 2764, Spring Valley, California, 91979.
And please subscribe, rate, and review our podcast so that we can hear what you think about us and others can know if we're good or not.
Hell yeah.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
And if you're all caught up on our podcast, stay tuned for a promo from Slaycation.
Did you guys hear about that couple that went on vacation and one spouse murdered the other? In fact, the entire vacation was planned just so that they could make the murder look like an accident.
Ah, so like a slaycation.
Oh boy, sounds like a fun new true crime podcast to me.
On every episode of Slaycation, we'll examine true cases of people who were killed while on vacation.
Was it murder? Or just a horrible accident. That's up to you and the law to decide. But either way, if you leave for your vacation in the plane and come home under the plane, you've definitely gone on a slaycation.
Join us every week for a fascinating new episode.
911, what's your emergency?
But make sure to pack your body bags, because getting away can be murder.
This is Slaycation.